You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Dean Rankine is a Ledger and Stanley Award-winning comic book artist, illustrator and writer best known for his work on Simpsons Comics and Rick and Morty. He is the writer and illustrator of the new book series Death Metal Emo Elves. He's also the creator of Aussie Comic Book Day, an Australian-wide celebration of local creators and their work. This year it's happening on the third Saturday of November. Dean will be an artist at Wintergeddon on June 14th. Beth caught up. That's me. I am the one. I caught up with Dean about illustrating and working on the Simpsons comics and what else he's up to.
Have you always been passionate about illustrating and writing?
Yeah, I was like, I was a weird kid and super socially awkward, but I just loved to draw and tell stories, and it's all I wanted to do. And it's all I want to do now, to be honest. Nothing's really changed. I love chatting with people, but I always just really want to, you know, a big part of me always just wants to be alone and drawing.
Yeah, I totally understand that. Just like, you know, needing that sort of like creative, like sort of tunnel to sort of disappear into and like, you know, be alone with and stuff.
Absolutely. I think it's almost like, sorry for cutting you off. It's like, for me, it's even if I'm not doing something that's very, like, that would be considered very therapeutic, I feel like it's therapy. If I'm, you know, I draw pretty much every day. And if I'm not drawing, I just don't quite feel right. And it's really interesting, I think, that you use the term a tunnel that I do. It's almost like a deep dive for me sometimes. I kind of get lost in the artwork, if you know what I mean. And sometimes, I don't know, you forget to breathe. You need to sort of like come up for air occasionally.
Yeah. You've worked on illustrating Simpsons comics quite a bit.
Yeah.
Have you always been a fan of The Simpsons?
I have been a fan of The Simpsons, and I love The Simpsons, like, because I'm older, and I really remember, like, just the 1 minute ones from the Tracy Ullman show, and just, I love the anarchy and the really sort of rough way that it was originally drawn. It's funny how that came about. Sort of art's a really sort of funny thing, and to survive as an illustrator is a really sort of hard thing. And I was 38 before I got The Simpsons. Like, I worked on all this stuff prior that no one would never have ever heard of, but it kind of, once I scored The Simpsons, I felt like it sort of legitimized what I did, even though it was such a long road to get there. And how it came about was, yes, I was a fan, but I was doing some work for these kids' magazines that you could purchase at the supermarket at the time, and the work dried up. So I went to my local Coles, and I picked up a Simpsons comic, and it all looked really good except for one page that was kind of off model compared to the other ones and not quite as good. And I thought, if I worked really hard, I could just about get to the level of being the worst Simpsons artist, if you know what I mean. I didn't need to be the best. I just needed to be good enough to be the worst. And I would still argue that I am the worst Simpsons artist. But I freelanced on the comic book for 8 years, and it was such a pleasure to work on. To write as well, they're such well-defined characters. Like, you know how Ralph Wiggum speaks, you know kind of how he's going to respond to a situation before it even happens. So it was such a joy, and you know, so many things were really nice about working on the Simpsons comic book, but one of them is that it kind of, for the outsider and for, you know, inside as well, it kind of says to the world, oh, this guy must know what he's doing, even though I don't. It kind of give you other work, but it will crack the door open just a little bit that this guy must know a thing or two about comics.
I feel like it can be difficult to be like taken seriously as an artist until you've sort of, you know, checked this box or whatever it is. And it's really frustrating at times. I don't know. I feel like it applies to a lot of different sort of areas as well. I guess it's just the way that, you know, I don't know, maybe people can like something once they know it's got the stamp of approval or whatever.
Stamp of approval, exactly. And I wonder about this a lot. Would I still have been successful? Like, you know, in the world's eye, in like, you know, sort of capitalist world, like, yeah, that's success because you're working on something that's really well known, that's successful. But if I hadn't scored The Simpsons, I would still be drawing, I would still be writing my stories, but I wouldn't be considered to be a success. You know, and I think that's a really interesting thing, you know, that what drives us as creators, and, you know, and what the world sees of value.
Yeah, totally. I know it's early in the
morning, but if you know what I mean, and it is frustrating, and because I think, you know, what I was doing beforehand is valid, what I'm doing now is valid.
Yeah.
It shouldn't have to be because you've worked on, you know, a snazzy IP that's worthwhile. But even now, like, I think my family's really supportive, but even like sort of extended family or sort of wider community, they'll contact me in the middle of the day assuming that I'm not working.
Mm.
You know, oh, Dee must be free, when, you know, I'm working like every day.
Yeah.
But it's not considered sort of like a legitimate work. It's not like not a 9-to-5, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I get it. I'd like to ask you, how did your illustrating and writing work for The Simpsons begin?
Yeah, so I guess it was, so yeah, when I said, yeah, so when I said about the, about finding that one issue, at the time you could actually send, there was an email that you could send work off to. So I didn't just send a picture of my best picture of Bart, I actually sent stories, like, you know, like fully rendered comic pages.
Mm.
So it was, yeah, I did a story about Snake robbing the Quickie Mart, and then I did an Itchy and Scratchy story. And so they were just two-page full backup stories. And I think they got back in to me, in contact with me, just in a couple of weeks. And they said, oh, we really like your stuff, and we'll use it. So, and then they started using it, yeah, again, mainly backup stories, four-page stories. And then they would contact and say, oh, we've got a Krusty the Clown issue coming out. Would you send some story ideas? So I would stand, spend the day, because of the time difference, it's kind of cool working for a US company, because you spend the day working on something, then you send it off, and it's like magic for them. Like the next day they open the inbox and your work is there. And that's how it kind of went along. I would send work off and they would say yes and no. Very, when they say no, they wouldn't even say no. They would go, yeah, we like this one, and this one. And you would just go for it. And there were always very few changes, which was, as an artist and a creator, really nice. What the hardest thing for me was to get my head around sometimes was, because I'm Australian and I was working on a US property, that you had to get your head around certain terminology. You had to, not just the spelling, you'd have to spell, you know, color without the U. Or you'd have to, I don't know, things like, you know, think about, I don't know, mileage and, you know, depending on what kind of story that you're writing. What is really nice about The Simpsons is it's got such an incredible fan base that if you want to know the number plate on the police car, you can look it up and, you know, and it's on the internet, which is kind of amazing. What was really weird, I went to San Diego Comic-Con years ago now, but I've been working on The Simpsons and I'd never been to America before. And I'm just walking down the street, it was like, oh, wow, like the police cars look like The Simpsons cars. I don't know how you've been to this. Really weird. The police car looks like the Simpsons cars, and like the street lights and the sidewalk and all this kind of stuff that, oh, it's all just a parody. It's all true. And I found that really strange. And again, for us in like Australia and New Zealand, we're fed on a diet of US content.
Yeah.
And it's it was really interesting. I'm like, oh, it's just like the Brady Bunch, you know.
Yeah. It is all a caricature.
Yeah, the whole thing's a caricature. Yeah, so it's fascinating. So what was really interesting, and that was like when I went to San Diego, was the first time that I met my art director, who I'd been working freelancing for 8 years. And during that time, I hadn't spoken to anyone. It was all via email. Never saw them. It was, and again, as an introvert, it's kind of really nice to have. Mm. You know, you don't have to make that dreaded phone call. You can just shoot off an email.
That's great. I have a question about some other work you've done. To name a few sort of projects, you've worked on Futurama, Rick and Morty, and the Riverdale Diaries as well. Do you think working in this sort of context has informed the way you approach your art in general, or has that just never changed?
Yeah, I think it very much has informed my art, and I kind of consider it to be a blowback in a certain way, because a large part of what I have done in the past is ape a different style. Like, I'm drawing The Simpsons like Simpsons. I'm drawing Rick and Morty like Rick and Morty. It's not how I would initially have drawn. But what was really interesting about that blowback is that it's actually been really positive for me, I believe, in my art style. Before I worked on The Simpsons, I was very indie comic artist, and my anatomy was all over the place, you know, eyes not matching and very cartoony and almost abstract. And I like that style, but I thought, if I want to get work and I want to survive as a freelancer, then I need to be able to work within this context. And by doing that, you have to think of maybe the anatomy of the character, even if they're cartoony, or the substructure, or I had to get my head around perspective that I ignored for so many years. And it's actually made me a better artist. Now I feel I'm a much better artist than what I was. So when I'm working on projects that I've written myself or my own thing, yes, it's my style, but I've picked up these kind of helpful hints along the way about telling stories and, you know, drawing characters. Like, I don't know, the Riverdale Diaries, I had to ape someone else's style, and they did particular hands. So I printed off all the hands that I could do and sort of copy how they did hands. And I don't draw them exactly like that now, but they do still inform my art when I'm drawing other things. Oh, okay, it's okay. I can draw hands with all the fingers. You know?
all the different ways. Yeah,
exactly. So I think that's a really interesting question. I think it's actually been very positive for me for how it's affected my artwork now.
Sweet. Do you have a favorite Simpsons episode?
Yes. It's Lisa the Vegetarian. Isn't it so good? It's so good. And I love how I said it's so good. It's so good. So that's the one where Lisa becomes a vegetarian, for people who don't know it. Lisa becomes a vegetarian and Homer cooks a whole pig. And then somehow, I can't remember how it happens, the pig starts flying into the air and it keeps following it, and all these awful things happens to it. It's great. It's a great episode. That's my favorite.
I love that one. Is that the one with Paul and Linda McCartney?
Like at the top of the Quickie Mart or something like that.
Yeah, they sort of have this like philosophical talk about vegetarianism.
Yeah, I love it. Do you have a favorite episode?
I do love the one where Marge is going to the country club, and she has that sort of like Kate Chanel dress that she has to like modify. I also love the one where it's gonna sound terrible, but you know the one where Homer like stumbles upon that dead body and he just like he's just screaming for like 10 minutes straight.
What I love, and what it's interesting, like, you know, at like so we'll talk about it, I'm sure, but I'm coming over for the Auckland Armageddon Expo. So, and when I do conventions, people will come up, they'll often ask me what my favorite episode is and their like favorite character and stuff. But then I don't know if I guess maybe something like Seinfeld, but they're like, there's what kind of show that you can just fall into quoting things to people? Like, you can talk about the monorail and you can talk about all this stuff that people just get, you know. It's nice, and I've had thought about like, oh, it's getting, you know, it's been going for such a long time, will people still be enjoying it, because it's very much, you know, of its time. But people still seem to be big fans of it, you know. I think it sort of holds a place in our hearts from when we were younger, like you know, sitting around the TV as a family watching it. Yeah. You know, and what's nice is that, you know, we're all laughing at different things, given how, you know, our age group sometimes, you know. Yeah. It just hit the mark so well. Yeah,
I remember loving it as a kid, and like, you know, it's got that sort of dual audience,
yes,
but also being older and sort of catching those little puns and sort of being able to enjoy those as well.
There's something really special about it.
You're the creator of Aussie Comic Book Day. What inspired this and how's it going?
It's not going well. But what inspired it was, like, so there's obviously there's Free Comic Book Day, but there's Batman Day, there's everything's got a day. So I don't know if I get hit by cat. There's like a day for everything. And I thought, surely there should be a day for to celebrate the stories that we're telling through comics in this country. So the idea is that, look, I approached comic book stores and said, oh, you know, on this day, could you just promote it? Just let people know that we're telling stories. It's not, you know, comics are so much more than just superheroes, and which I love superheroes, they're great, but also there's some really like fascinating stories being told in this country and I know New Zealand as well, you know, that it's nice to be able to, you know, and I just thought it was reasonable to have a day that we trying to focus on that and celebrate that stuff, you know. So here and same with NZ, we have like, it's not really an industry as such locally, it's all people just because they love the medium and they want to tell stories, doing the work, and you know, they might just be, you know, doing a Kickstarter, or they might be just photocopying their work, or just to get it out there, you know. So yeah, it's, I was hoping that would, I don't know, magically take off and I wouldn't have to do any work, but apparently I do have to do work on it to promote it.
Right, damn.
Yeah, God damn it.
What are you working on at the moment, speaking of?
I've just finished some work on Rick and Morty, which has been really nice. I did quite a large project over Christmas. I've been working on these things, like a Can You Find books. I did a Can You Find the Easter Bunny? It gave me RSI, so lots of rabbits. I never want to draw a rabbit again. So I've been, doing that kind of thing. I draw kids' books. So I finished penciling a kids' book called Brock the Croc, which is the second one in the series. And currently I'm writing the fourth book in a book series that I've been doing called Death Metal Emo Elves. And it's about this group of elves who form a death metal band. Like in elf world, everyone just plays the polka, but then they discover that, you know, elves used to rock and death metal is a cool thing to do. So that's one that I've been writing and drawing. That's something that's, kind of special for me, because I really want to be able to do more writer-artist work. And so that's picked up by a publisher called Redback. And I'm really glad they did, because everyone else said no. So it's tough out there. That was one, like, what is nice is, like, I'm on writing the fourth book now, and the first book of Death Metal Emo Elves, I just started writing and drawing, because I didn't have a publisher. I'd just illustrate a page a day and go, just with the hope that maybe someone would see it and someone would go say yes to it. So it doesn't make any money, but we're getting by, and I'm doing what I love.
That was illustrator and writer Dean Rankine chatting to me about his work on the Simpsons comics and what he's working on at the moment.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.